Welcome to Aardvark Avarice. I am your host, Ryan Gosling. Kenergy! This podcast is brought to you by Assault and Battery Fish and Chips, who deliver deep-fried cod with a wallop of UK tradition. Try their staple dish, lightly battered fish with thick-cut fries, slapped with malt vinegar, and a side of hand-pounded mushy peas. It's bloody good. Despite the rumors, this podcast is not a conspiracy. Good afternoon, Comet Ping Pong Pizza. What can I do for you today?
Yeah, I'd like to order a pizza for pickup.
Sure, what would you like?
What's that noise?
It's nothing. Don't worry about it. Can I take your order, please?
Is that chanting?
No, it's not chanting. It's nothing really. So what size pizza would you like? Miguel, turn it down. That's the third one today. If you've listened before, you know I like to do an occasional episode I call a garbage plate, where I throw together all the ideas that couldn't fill out a whole episode on their own, but do deserve to be heard. This is garbage plate number 3, where you have a choice of baked, broiled, grilled, fried, refried, or air-fried gator bites, or applesauce. The soup of the day is menudo, with farm-to-table tripe, perfect for soaking up your favorite libation. Changa! Cheers. Who thought sneezing in your elbow crack would be a good idea? Seriously. Okay, I know the whole point is to prevent as much sputum from jettisoning out into the atmosphere so we don't spread a contagion passed on to us from some Chinese lab monkey. I also understand that sneezing into our hands turns our most used body part into a wet nap host for germs, but do we really have to sneeze fart into our elbow butt? It was bad enough when we blew mucus mist and snot rockets into our palms, but at least we could discreetly wipe it off on our sock. It's a tried and true tactic during a date. But there's no way to fly under the radar when trying to clean strings of phlegm off your elbow crease. It's especially dicey if you have hairy arms. Guilty. Or a long-sleeved sweater with all the nooks and crannies for that milky slime to cling to and crustify. Not to mention if you misfire, you sound like a pervert practicing his motorboat skills. Just saying. Speaking of motorboating, I once dog-sat a bulldog who would love to motorboat women. No lie. Everybody loves to stop and pet an ugly pooch, and it's harder to get uglier than a bulldog. This particular cunning canine really knew how to work his mongrel machismo. He would happily strut along with his mouth spread out in a gaping doggy smile, panting and lolling his tongue, knowing full well the attention it would bring. When an unsuspecting female approached, he would wiggle his little butt and curly tail like he'd been waiting for her all his life. Just as they stopped and expounded their adulation and leaned in over to pet him, he went in like crab and goyle on a cupcake. His head would fly back and forth, his jowls flapping away, making slappy noises and little doggy grunts. I swear, the bustier the woman, the more enthusiastic he seemed. And you know what? They loved it. Lucky dog. Just saying. I have many reasons to be a proud parent, but what my son did last Easter really lit me up. It was 7 in the morning, and he's running around our living room looking for eggs hidden by the Easter Bunny. He finds one concealed in a Hogwarts Castle playset, and not missing a beat, my son held it up high and exclaimed, "Egg Expelliarmus!" I'm so proud. Just saying. Rarely am I left speechless. There are times I might be quiet, not often, but it has been known to happen. Usually it's because whatever situation I'm in, I want it to end as soon as possible and don't want to delay its conclusion by talking. Like staff meetings, or any conversation with the clueless close talker with stale coffee breath, who thinks stories about their cat's bowel obstruction is fascinating. One of my coworkers made the statement to me that Michael Keaton's Batman is good, but not as good as Val Kilmer's. Oh dear lord. I'm verklempt. The gates of hell have opened, and the foul demons of the underworld have spilled out onto the earth, not to maim, rape, and ravage the living, but to go and gape at my coworker because they, too, don't know what the hell she's talking about. I love Val Kilmer. His Doc Holliday from the movie Tombstone is one of my favorite characters of all time. I'm your Huckleberry. And I literally wanted to be Chris Knight from Real Genius when I grew up. He wasn't just any nerd, but a mega nerd to the 10th degree, who thwarted a government plot to weaponize a space laser while wearing cute bunny slippers. Not to mention he picked up a hot beautician with the line, "Don't eat that! Don't you know that eating that stuff will give you very large breasts? Oh my god, I'm too late!" I admit, on occasion, I may have tried that line, but I maintain it was my delivery, not the line itself, that was met with less than desirable results. I just needed more practice. Val Kilmer movie quotes are an integral part of my personality, but touting his Batman is better than Keaton's is like saying George Lazenby was a better Bond than Sean Connery. I may not go so far as Sean Connery's assertion that every once in a while a woman needs a good slap, but my coworker needs to visit her therapist or priest for a few rounds of nerd conversion therapy. I guess it's some consolation she didn't say George Clooney in his codpiece. Just saying. Back to my son. He's begun engaging in Yo Mama Smackdowns. You know, where you go back and forth with a competitor trying to one-up each other with Yo Mama jokes. For example, "Yo Mama's so old, she knew Burger King when he was a prince." The whole bit was popular back in the day, thanks to the movie White Men Can't Jump. "Yo Mama's so stupid, she got locked in a mattress store and slept on the floor." Well, my son hit me with a Yo Daddy joke that I'm still stuck on today. Once again, I will use my Tiny Tim voice to represent my son.
"Yo Daddy is so fat, his wiener is as big as my fist. Do you get it? Do you get it, Daddy? You don't get it."
The little guy was so disappointed at my apparent confusion, he just hung his head, stuck out his lower lip, turned around and moped off. The truth is, I'm not sure if I did get it. But a more important question is, did he? Just saying. Did you ever discover a hair on your body and ask aloud, "Where the H-E double hockey sticks did you come from?" Earlobes come to mind. It's not exactly an area people think to shave or wax, but there always seem to be one or two strays that go unnoticed until they are tickling you at inopportune times. Driving, kids' Christmas concerts, in the middle of Star Trek Strange New Worlds right when Spock decides to engage his human emotions and get jiggy with Nurse Chapel. Let me tell you, those pesky lobe whiskers teasing your concha can really take away from the intensity of Vulcan human frolicking. And your kid's Jingle Bell xylophone solo, who of course is a xylophone savant. These stray hairs that somehow escape days, weeks, even months of shaving, waxing, and incessant manscaping seem to pop up in odd places and noticed at strange, random times. For example, I found one smack dab in the middle of my forehead while utilizing my 5-minute potty break during a webinar at work. I was washing my hands in the bathroom, baring my teeth at the mirror to make sure I didn't have any popcorn kernels in the crevices, because, you know, I get peckish during webinars on Medicaid. And that's when I saw a hair on my forehead. I thought it was just a hitchhiker that I picked up from my kids or the cat, but then I tried to pluck it off, and I discovered that that sucker was painfully attached. And we're not talking a little tickler either. That thing was 2 inches long. 2 inches. How did I not notice that before? I'm not exactly vain, but I do look in a mirror once in a while. You know, whatever the normal amount of time is for practicing dimple smiles and Robert De Niro grimaces. How could I possibly not notice a 2-inch curly in the middle of my forehead? Oh yeah, it was curly, like a blonde version of Charlie Brown's swirly on top of his head. It was just unthinkable that I missed it in all the time it took to grow 2 inches. Weeks? Possibly months even? I know what you're thinking. It was a casual oversight between haircuts, playing hide and seek under my bangs. My haircut is the only acceptable haircut for the follically challenged. The buzz, which I self-administer bi-weekly. So my hair hasn't been 2 inches since, like, Obama. It hasn't been an eighth of an inch. I threw out my hair trimmer guards beyond a size 1 long ago. So this isn't like the forlorn strand that got lost in the shuffle. I suppose it's feasible due to the unusual location of the hair and its light color. I could have overlooked it, perchance, possibly, conceivably, maybe. But I think it's more likely it spawned overnight. The rogue hair germinated from a mutated follicle, defying the laws of nature due to prolonged exposure to young gravy beets and DNA resequencing from Mountain Dew Baja Blast. You know there's something Manhattan Project-like with Baja Blast. I'm pretty sure it's the adrenochrome elixir that QAnon keeps spouting about. Or maybe alien stem cells harvested from the Roswell crash. Would you believe it's a witch's spell? In Harry Potter, that would be Sinus Muto! Perhaps it's Big Pharma, covertly using us as test subjects for their unsanctioned experiments to discover the mythical hair regrowth formula. In which case, no need to be so clandestine. I'll gladly lend my forehead to the cause. It's a moral imperative. Anyway, we've all been there, right? The mysterious Pizzagate, alien autopsy, Baja Blast, Harry Potter, invasive hair sprouting from your elbow, clavicle, big toe, or right butt cheek. So what's the solution? Let it grow until you're able to save Rapunzel from her tower imprisonment? Or climb it to retrieve the golden goose from an unruly giant? Would you then name it? I'm not saying I did. I'm just asking. Todd. Todd would be a good name for a hair born out of an alien contamination. Not that I named mine. No, you do the only thing you can do. Grab on, grit your teeth, and give it a yank. Hopefully it doesn't result in a regrowth that's thicker, darker, and with a dozen or so friends. Just to be safe, don't spill water on it or feed it after midnight. Just saying. Incidentally, I wrote that whole hair bit while severely impaired from lack of sleep and flying on a manic wave of euphoric gibberish. Incidentally, the ensuing crash was epic. The lack of sleep was due to a horrible dream I had that woke me up at 3 in the morning. It was one of those gut-wrenching emotional dreams, the type that uses speed force to phase through your painfully erected barriers and skewers you right in the heartstrings. When I woke up, I looked over at my wife, teary-eyed, and thought, "What did I ever do to you? Is it because I totally bagged it on your birthday? I swear, I'll do better at Christmas." And then I got up, went to the bathroom, and sat on the porcelain throne, because that's the only place you can truly marinate in your self-pity at 3 in the morning, hoping beyond hope that the ceiling fan will clear the air of your malignant melancholy as quickly as the noxious expulsions from your Cinco de Mayo celebration. I'm not going to describe my dream, because it's still way too fresh. I might trigger, and then gorge myself on peanut butter fudge my coworker brought to work, join the recovering crackheads downtown cranking Crosby, Stills, and Nash on their rent-to-own Bluetooth speakers, because they haven't discovered Theory of a Dead Man yet, and prattle on about how the mayor keeps throwing us out of the pavilion. We have a right to pitch a tent, play our bongos, and relive Occupy Wall Street anywhere we want. Just so you know, the peanut butter fudge, it's so good, and yet so bad, it should come with an insulin shot. Just saying. The nitwit on the radio this morning said that all taffy tastes the same. I'm not being too harsh calling him a nitwit. That's sort of his shtick. I disagree with his assessment of taffy, especially since I believe the flavor of maple taffy should just disappear altogether because of the way it tastes. It's like somebody burned maple syrup in a pot and combined the congealed, charred remains with taffy made from the drool of a dog that just licked its butt. Does anybody else feel that way? Or is that just me? Is there anybody out there who enjoys the flavor of maple taffy? Or maple-flavored anything except for things actually made with maple sugar or maple syrup? I think it's time we petition the Taffy Association of America, or TAA, and tell them how we feel. And if TAA does not exist, I think we should create it, complete with a charter, mission statement, and board of directors, to look all official and everything. And then systematically eliminate maple taffy from the taffy world at large. Just saying. Let's end with another fun anecdote about my son. I know, I rarely do that. During a recent school presentation called Dinosaur Rocks, where dino experts came in and dropped some drastic knowledge on the kids, my son was given a little rock that is supposed to be a dinosaur dropping. According to him, other kids in the class received dinosaur teeth. I asked, "Why didn't you get teeth?" His response,
"I didn't want teeth. I wanted poop."
Just saying. Well, that about sums it up for today. Thank you for listening to Aardvark Avarice. I'd like to again thank our sponsor, Assault and Battery Fish and Chips, whose battered sausage has such a punch of spice, it just smacks you in the face with flavor. You add some curry sauce and you won't know what hit you. Until next time, I'm Captain Caveman saying, be safe, be kind, and enjoy the Jarlsberg.
Captain Caveman! Nap,